It doesn't matter. We open this table as Christ opens it to all people. And so we share King's Hawaiian bread and Welch's grape juice. And you just can't beat that combination. So everyone is welcome at the table. There are plenty of announcements in your bulletin. I'm not going to read those to you. And yet I would call your attention to them. And I want to also tell you that we're going to try to be a little more orderly with the way we serve communion today. And the choir is going to lead the way on that. But when you come, and as I said, everyone is welcome to come, we'd like for you to come down the center aisle and then fill the table on both sides as you are comfortable, standing or kneeling, and then return to your places by the side aisles. So we won't have counterflow of traffic in the middle aisle. So we'll do that in a way that is sacred and rich, and that reminds us all that we are feasting at the table of Christ Himself, along with disciples from all over the world. Today is communion, is World Communion Sunday, which means that in every time zone, today, on this Sunday, the first Sunday of October, Christians around the world are celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and this cherished meal that we do in remembrance of Him and in obedience to Him. Let us follow Him to the table, and let us follow Him to the world to be and become Christ's disciples in the world and every place where we live. Also wanted to tell you that if you listen to KETR, you might tune in at 4 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. John Mark Dempsey asked me to come and speak about our Jubilee, which is coming up. And I'm sure he's going to ask me all kinds of questions. I'm not sure about this live radio thing, but we're going to go see. So you might tune in on that. And the other thing I wanted to say is I'm not sure who cares for the garden in our gathering area, but the peace lilies are beautiful. And I have never seen peace lilies bloom in a church. People bring them all the time, and then it's feast or famine with the water, and they die. And I've never seen them bloom again, but those are planted in the earth, and they are blooming, and they're beautiful. So take note of that as you leave today and celebrate. And thanks to whoever's caring for them. Let us now begin our worship and prepare our hearts to come to the table. Let us worship God together.
Number 334, Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here, fill us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
While we are standing, let us affirm our faith together with the creed in our bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, and the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Before we are seated, let us pass the peace of Christ and greet each other. As you take your seats, let our ushers come forward to collect our morning gifts, our tithes, as well as our offerings. Ushers. And as they come, let us make this our prayer. Oh God, we know that all we have and are is yours. It is a gift from you. And we trust that you have given it, and we feel drawn to return a portion unto you, that the work of your kingdom through this time and place may be nourished and continue. In Jesus' name, amen.
now for number 503, Let It Breathe On Me.
Let it breathe on me, let it breathe on me, let it breathe, oh Lord, now breathe on me, let it breathe on me, let it breathe on me, let the breath of the Lord now breathe on me.
If you have a prayer concern that you would like to add to our praying this week, if you would use one of the yellow cards that you can find there or ask an usher, we would be glad to include those. I didn't get any in the offering this morning, so we will simply pray and remember all those in our community who tend to be forgotten and all of those who are right there in front of us, but that we don't know how to reach toward. And so I'd invite us to pray for our children and youth as well, and as well as our elders. So let us begin our prayer in silence. Let us pray. O Lord, you are our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and the one who walks by our side every day. Hard for us to remember sometimes to look at you, but we are reminded that you are beside us and that you guide us and call us forward, that you encourage us, sometimes pushing, that you require us to move, sometimes pulling, and that sometimes, even through our tears, you call us to do something bold and confident. In your grace, we seek to follow you everywhere you lead us. We trust, O God, that you have heard the cries of our hearts and the cries of our students and the cries of our community. Help us, God, to find ways to bridge the gaps in our community and to reach out to people who are isolated or lonely or hurting. Help our families, our old, our young, our in-between, our single households and those households that are full of kids. Help us all to find people like us and people who are not like us, and to inspire them to come to Christ and to come to faith. God, we ask for your blessing on our Jubilee as in 2 weeks we come together not just to remember the past 50 years, but to look forward to the next 50 years and to figure out the ways that you lead us and call us forward, calling us to be and do and to become what we may not even have imagined yet. Help us not just to look back to the past and celebrate with memory, but help us to look forward to the future and to celebrate with hope. God, in these times of holy moments, we seek to be your servants, to follow in your footsteps, and to pull others along on that pathway. We love you, O God, and we thank you for loving us so dearly in Jesus the Christ, for it is in his name and for his sake that we make this prayer as people of faith. Amen.
It's my pleasure and my privilege to read to you the love chapter this morning. It's 1 Corinthians 13, It's found on page 164 of the New Testament in your Pew Bible. However, I'll be reading a newer translation, the Common English Bible, and perhaps we'll hear these wonderful words with fresh ears and a little bit fresher words. If I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all of the mysteries and all everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have and hand over my own body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek to its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. It hopes for all things, endures all things. Love never fails. As for prophecies, they will be brought to an end. As for tongues, they will stop. As for knowledge, it will be brought to an end. We know in part, and we can prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, what is partial will be brought to an end. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, think like a child. But now that I have become a man, I put it to an end, the childish things. Now we see a reflection in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way that I have been completely known. Now faith, hope, and love remain, these three things, and the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So God's love is love in action. Our speaking is nothing but noise if it has no love in it. Our prophecy and our stories of faith, even up to and including about moving mountains, are noise if they're not spoken with love. They're wasted without love. Love listens and trusts and hopes and lasts until the end. Our future hope is like this. Now our vision can be clouded, but then God will meet us face to face. Now we see only partly as through a dim mirror or window, but God will show us the whole picture when we meet face to face. That kind of love lasts. Love is breathed into us by God in the very act of creation. The scripture says God blew into the human being the breath of life. Actually, it was God breathed into the clay the breath of life. And that's when that breath, that clay, became a living being. Each of us are made of dust and will return to dust, but in the meantime, our very breath is the breath and the life of God. Our words that we say and the ways that God's Spirit inspires and resonates with our spirits to speak words of love. That love breathed into us by God, breathed into me, that wind without which we cannot thrive. Some people followed Jesus because of the way he fed the crowd. Well, that's a good thing to talk about on this World Communion Sunday, because we are about feeding people. We are about sharing the very life of Christ Jesus in the elements of this sacrament of Holy Communion. World Communion Sunday is a time when Christians around the globe share in this moment of communion with our Lord. You can be sure that in every time zone around this planet, that means all 24 hours of this day, someone is receiving the gift of the Lord's Supper and being nourished and reminded by it of how Jesus himself calls us to feed one another. Jesus continued the creation and the recreation, I think, by breathing on the disciples and by saying to them, "Receive my Spirit. Receive my Spirit." The very Spirit is the breath of God. Is it any coincidence that birth and breath are such similar words? If you have given birth to a child, you know how important breathing is. Not just for the child who's beginning to take his or her first breath, but for the mother and the father who is coaching to breathe together and to breathe deeply and with good health. Birth and breath are related. A child takes their first breath just an instant after birth. And when we talk about new birth, we're talking about being carried again. Or as some people might say, being born again. Being carried again. Turning breath into birth and into breath again. We have our physical birth, and then we have our spiritual birth. God calls us to bear one another's burdens, to share, to walk together, and to breathe together. And I would dare say, and add to that, to sing together. Singing is all about breathing, if it's done well. We breathe out through our vocal cords. Maybe we should all figure out ways to talk less and sing more. We take in a full load of fresh air, the wind of God on the waters of creation, the very breath of life breathed into creation. And that's when Genesis tells us human beings became living souls, when that breath was breathed into us. Breathing exercises are good for us. Well, if you practice hypnosis or if you practice good singing, you know how important breath is. We breathe out our worry and stress. We just let it drain out of us. Push it out. And we breathe in peace and grace. The aroma of peace will not soon be forgotten. If you have someone in your home or in your life who bakes, you know what a tremendous smell you find when someone is baking homemade bread. We can breathe in that smell all afternoon, can't we? We've been talking about respiration here in these few weeks surrounding our stewardship. We've talked about respiration and expiration, breathing out. And now today we talk about respiration, breathing in, taking in that life, taking inspiration into ourselves. That is the center of all of those words is that S-P-I-R root that is the same as the word spirit. It is air. It is spirit. It's not something tangible, and yet it is something, oh, so real, and without which we would all expire immediately. We have to breathe, and we have to breathe in as well as out. Let us breathe in love, the love of life. You can't see breath. You can't see the air, but it's real. You can't see the love either, but you can see the fruit of it. You know it's there because you see evidence of it in people's actions. You can see your breath on a car window in the wintertime. You know there's breath there. You can breathe out on a window glass when it's close to freezing outside and it'll just fog right up. There's evidence, the moisture. You know it's there. Think about bread baking. You can't see that aroma, but you can taste it when it's out of the oven and you get to break off that first piece. And when we come to the table in a few moments, we will all, along with people all over this planet, break off a piece of bread and take that into ourselves, into our bodies, and into our spirits, and recognize that Jesus, who said, "I am the bread of life," also calls us to be bread, to be leavened bread or leavening bread in the world so that we can make a difference and change things for Christ. You can't see the aroma of bread baking in the oven, but you can know it's there because you can inhale that smell of, or that warm smell of yeast. And it smells so good. Of course, we have to breathe out in order to breathe in. We breathe out the stress and the challenge and the hurt and the disappointment of life in order to breathe in grace. Today's World Communion Sunday, as we've said. And I think it was my very first World Communion Sunday as pastor. We lived in Paris, Texas, and served at Oak Park Church on the west side of Paris. We had decided as a congregation that we were going to start reaching out to the people within 2 or 3 block radius of the church. And so we decided to do that by making and baking bread and carrying it around on a Sunday afternoon, knocking on someone's door, give them a loaf of fresh homemade bread, maybe still warm and steamy, and invite them to church and tell them we had a spot for them. We did some of that, but on the first World Communion Sunday we decided, I think it was my request, to bring a big laundry basket and put all those loaves of bread in there. A variety, tremendous variety, some in sacks, some in bags, some in bread loaf bags from the store. And so we had that down in the front of the sanctuary as kind of a visual for that Communion Sunday and celebrating the fact that people all over the world were sharing different loaves of bread, different kinds of bread, and yet all of it represented the body of Christ, our Lord. And so when it came time for the sacrament of Holy Communion, I simply went to that basket and pulled out a loaf of bread. The one I picked up happened to still be a little warm and steamy inside the bag. And when I pulled that little twist tie off of there and opened the bag, the smell of onions and garlic just wafted over the room. Now that was good bread. That was good communion bread. And that's one that I will never forget. That was early on in our time there, and I think that people always thought the bread was lacking a little something after that. May have been a little spicy. And it wasn't just the aroma of it, it was the influence of that. The reality that that was a loaf of bread, well, it didn't make it to somebody's house that day because we ate it at the altar. But that loaf of bread represented a lot of the others that were in that wicker basket and that would be scattered out into the community and be shared around tables and celebrated as families gathered for meals. That was a special experience that I will never forget. Realtors say when you're showing a house, if you can manage to bake a loaf of bread before the prospective buyers get there, that they'll love the house because they'll walk in and they'll go, "This seems like home." And they smell the bread baking. Betty Tackle over in Bridgeport used to bake our bread for communion every time, and it was good bread. And when there was some left, and sometimes there wasn't, because we like to give pretty big pieces. When there was some left, the kids would gather around after the service and say, "Is there any bread left?" And you know, our book of worship allows that. Some people think that's a little, like they don't want their kids to do that, it's a little sacred or a little sacrilegious or something. But our book of worship says that when there are communion elements left over, the pastor and others may reverently consume. Oh, I can do that. I can reverently consume some of that loaf of bread. And you're welcome to join me, especially if you're a young one. You know, it's about breathing and baking. It's about inspiration and expiration, breathing out so there's room to breathe in. And what we are to breathe in is the very Spirit of God, which is the wind of God. Breath is the love of life. You can't see the breath, but you know that it's there. So as we come to this table this morning, I invite you to spend a few extra moments breathing out, expiring, letting the air out. Just take in a deep breath and then let it go, like the air out of a balloon. And come to this altar ready not only to taste this wonderful bread and the precious life of Christ from the cup, but ready to breathe in the graceful gift of new life. I invite you to join me in the great thanksgiving as found in your bulletin or in our hymnal on page 12. The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good thing always and a joyful thing to give thanks to the Lord our God. So with all the people on earth and the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you give birth to your church. Delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you and broke the bread, giving it to his disciples and said to them, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, Jesus took the cup, again giving thanks, and gave it to his disciples and said to them, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we now offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim together the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and cup. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The servers, let the servers come. Those who are serving. Okay. That's them. All right. That's it. Thank you. The body of Christ, bread of life, bread for the world, broken for you. The blood of Christ, the cup poured for you and for all the world. World Communion Sunday. Let us share with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The body of Christ, John, broken for you. The body of Christ, Alta, broken for you. Betty, the bread of life. Carol, the body of Christ, bread of life. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ, breath, light of the world given for you. Thank you, John. Betty. Okay. We're going to start here. We're starting here. Alta. I sure thought we were starting in the middle. I'll go first. Let me go first. So I give him the bread first. The body of Christ, bread of life, Jim. The body of Christ, Jane, bread of life. This is the body of Christ, bread for the world, broken for you. The body of Christ, Joel, given for you. The body of Christ. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you've given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Holy Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. We are the church. This is not the church, this place here. You know that. This is the building where the church meets, okay? So we call it a church. People in the community say, oh, look, there's the church. Well, that's okay. But let's be clear, the church is not the building, it's the people. And so we are enabled, empowered, and nourished by the very life of Jesus Christ to go and be and become the church in the world. I encourage you in your context to do exactly that, because nobody else lives where you live. Nobody else does what you do, works where you work, drives where you drive, shops where you shop, all the time anyway. But you are unique, and you are called to be a witness in your part of the world. So let us all take seriously the charge to be disciples to Christ and to make disciples of others whose paths we cross. During this hymn of invitation, it says, "We are the church," number 558. Go ahead and turn to it. And as you turn, just hear these words. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. Let's sing it. Would you rise, please? And if today is a day for you to come to Christ or renew your faith in some way that would be enhanced by coming to the altar is open for you to come and kneel and stay as long as you'd like. We are the church. Tyler?
I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. The church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, the church is not a resting place, the church is a people. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. Many kinds of people with many kinds of faces, all colors and all ages due from all times and places. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. Sometimes the church is marching, sometimes it's bravely burning, sometimes it's writing, sometimes hiding, always it's learning. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. And when people gather, there's singing and there's praying, there's laughing and there's crying, sometimes all of it's saying. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. At Pentecost, some people received the Holy Spirit and told the good news through the world to all who would hear it. I am the church, you are the church.
And there's no better benediction to confidently say that and confidently believe it, and yet to know that we are not and never alone, but rather that the light of Christ leads us out and calls us beyond this place to be and reflect the light of the world. Amen.